Long ago, at the beginning of Scripture, the Israelites worshipped God in a tent. As they traveled about the wilderness, they worshipped God in a tent. Now, it just wasn't any tent. It was built to exact specifications and design so that it could be deconstructed and then reconstructed over and over and over again as these nomadic people traveled across the wilderness. It was essentially a portable temple. It had to be portable because the Israelites, like I said, were wanderers. They wandered around the Sinai Peninsula for 40 years. Now, within the tent, there were some important and specifically designed items. Probably the most important was what we call the Ark of the Covenant. This ark was essentially a golden chest that had some cherubs, some angels on top. And within this chest were some very important items. Probably chief among them was the tablets of the Ten Commandments. This ark was considered to be the throne of God Himself, God Almighty's throne. And in the tent, this ark was placed in a special section of the tent called the Most Holy Place. And the Most Holy Place was separated from the rest of the tent with a veil, like a big curtain. If you imagine our sanctuary to be this tent, you could imagine this part up here being the Most Holy Place and there being a big curtain here, and the rest of the items were out here. Now, this Most Holy Place was the place where God dwelt. It was where His presence was. It was considered His earthly place of residence. And the reason there was a veil or a curtain blocking it off from the rest of the tent was because, frankly, God's holiness was too much for sinners to take. It was said that you would die if you entered into the Most Holy Place. The sin of the people, even though God chose these people as His own, even though He rescued them from slavery, this Most Holy Place was forbidden to them. They were not to enter into it. Only a high priest, and only once a year, was this high priest allowed to enter into this Most Holy Place to offer sacrifice for the sins of the people. It's a very important thing within this tent, this Most Holy Place. Now, I know we're tired of hearing this, but really, we are sinners, and sin offends God. It causes separation between us and God, much like the veil separates God's presence from the rest of His people. Sin builds up this curtain, this wall between us and God. But it isn't just between us and God. It's between us and each other as well, between us and other people. It becomes that wall, that curtain, a veil. Now, I didn't have a whole lot of friends in high school that I hung around with on a regular basis. There were two. And if you were here, I think, was it Christmas Day? These two friends were the ones that were with me when we superglued the kids' locker shut. But I hung out with these two guys quite a bit. We ran around together. I would say that I probably trusted them more than I trusted many other people. It was, for the most part, a good friendship. But that friendship came crashing down completely one day when these two friends of mine were arrested for stealing from my cousin who lived in my house with my family. They took advantage of this friendship we had, and somehow one of the days that we were hanging out together, they learned what the passcode was into our garage and decided later on that they would sneak into our garage when nobody was home, go find a check blank of my cousin's, as well as steal a bunch of CDs from my brother. They would take this check blank to Walmart and forge my cousin's signature and purchase about $1,000 of electronics from Walmart. It destroyed the friendship completely, completely severed it. Never was the same. Even if I have contact with them a little bit nowadays, there's still a wall. Their sin, their offense against me and my family, created a wall, a curtain, a veil in our relationship. It's just not the same. There's separation there now. Sin does this. Wrongs do this. They create separation between one party and another. Think of divorce. Think of affairs in a marriage causing separation. But it doesn't have to be as dramatic as that either. Separation, the walls, the veils, can occur in much simpler ways as well. More small, more incremental. Think of little episodes of anger or raised voices or sarcasm that we might have towards our friends, towards our spouses, towards our kids. Those are all things that can begin to cause separation, to build up a veil, to build up that curtain between one person and another, between us and God. Sin separates. It divides, it kills, and destroys relationships. In the case of the Israelites, their sin eventually led to the destruction of the temple, which replaced the tent, the place that they worshipped. And their sin led eventually also to the loss entirely of the Ark of the Covenant. No one knows for sure where this amazing peace is anymore, whether it even exists anymore. This tent, the temple, was meant to be a lasting dwelling place of God on earth, a place where you could say God's presence is there. And the sin that separated and divided the people, separated them from God, destroyed that place entirely. On our own, we can do nothing to repair our relationship with God. And when sin happens between one individual and another, rarely is that friendship fully mended. But our God is a God of creativity. He likes to create. He likes to make. He likes to restore, rebuild, recreate. And so this is what our God does for us. And John tells us in our gospel that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him, not one thing came into being. Think of what you know from Genesis, from the very beginning. How did God create? He created by speaking, by the power of His Word. And here John tells us that that Word that was there in the beginning is Jesus Christ. All things were made through Jesus. Jesus is the one whom we celebrate, obviously, during this Christmas season, and it is the second Sunday of Christmas. And this Jesus always has been and always will be. He was there in the beginning with God. And He was the Father's agent in bringing all things into being. And now this Word, this Jesus Christ, this eternal agent of creation, became flesh, as John says, and lived among us. And that comes from verse 14 in our Gospel. But our translation doesn't really help us to understand fully what's going on there. Literally, what John says is that the Word became flesh and set up His tent, His dwelling place, among us. What John is saying is that the presence of God that used to be housed in a tent, that used to be housed in the temple, that traveled in and around the people, is now amongst the people and located in Jesus Christ. At Christmas, we celebrate the coming of God to us, God with us, in Jesus Christ. And we celebrate that in that such a way that in Jesus Christ, that wall, that curtain, the veil that separates us between God and us is now torn. It's taken away. It is destroyed. In Jesus Christ, it is shattered. God has come to us in the midst, in the most humble way imaginable, the most accessible way possible. He came as one so that all who would receive Him, all that who would believe in His name, He would give the power to become a child of God. This is the extent of God's recreative purposes in Jesus Christ. How can you restore a relationship more than calling a person your child? There was separation. There was a wall between us and God. But now in Jesus Christ, the opposite is made true. And we are restored. And we are called child of God. At the end of all things, that which was broken, separated from God, will be recreated in Christ. Listen to the words of Revelation 21. These are words that give us hope and promise. Hope and promise about the end time when Christ returns and all things are made complete, all things are done. When Christ brings restoration of sinful creation to completion. Listen to these words. This is John speaking of a vision he had of the end of all things. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." And He who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." In Jesus Christ, the wall, the curtain, the veil of separation between us and God has been taken away. And in Christ, all things are being recreated, restored, and being made new. Let us pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we give You thanks for the Word made flesh, for Jesus Christ, who came to dwell among us and now lives in us through His Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that when we do sin, when we do wrong one another, that You would show us our sin and show us forgiveness and restore us once again. Pray too that You would restore us into full fellowship with You, helping us to have faith and to be better each day. We pray this in Your name. Amen.